Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And I do hope your middle of the weekday, a Wednesday, August 10th, the Feast of St. Lawrence, the deacon, of course. Hope it's going well for you. St. Lawrence, pray for us, and especially to all the deacons out there. God bless you for your ministry and your service. And let's be more like St. Lawrence and always be joyful, even in difficult circumstances. He's known as a patron not only of cooks, but comedians, because when he was martyred, literally placed on a grill, he said, "Turn me over, I'm done on this side." At least that's what tradition tells us. And so therefore, he is the patron saint of cooks and also comedians and many other people in various crafts. Interestingly enough, in Bella Italia, San Lorenzo, you almost always have a statue in the kitchen of St. Lorenzo because, again, he is the patron saint of cooks. So just a little bit of a side story there about the beautiful saint today, St. Lawrence, and just a beautiful story of his life and how he brought together the treasures of the church before he was martyred, because the emperor said, "We want all your money. Give us all your money. Collect your jewels." So he said, "Okay, I'll collect my jewels, my diamonds, my sapphires, the people of God." So there you go. Can always learn from our saints. I love our saints. St. Lawrence, pray for us. When we come back after the news at 15 minutes past the hour, a wonderful organization that does a great job of helping us really understand how to discern media properly. It's a Media Research Center. And we're going to be talking to Nicholas Vondacaro, and he's the editor of one of their services, which is called Newsbusters, where they take a look at media bias. And there's something interesting in terms of the way the media are covering the raid at the Trump estate on Monday. I played it in the first hour of my show. If we have time, might not have time to play it today. I'm hoping we do. But there was one little bright spot in all the crazy coverage where they actually raised questions, which is what they're supposed to do, and had statements or sound bites from both sides of the aisle. I'm not kidding. Now, it shouldn't be the fact where this is even making us talk about this morning, but this is how rare it is in today's media, in terms of featuring both sides of a news story. But to their credit, Newsbusters collected it and put it up there, and it's about a minute and 50 seconds. If we have time, we'll play it. But then there's also, of course, the craziness, the media just salivating over this story on the left, and we'll have Nicholas take a look at that as well. And what we are to make of this, how do we balance this whole situation out? I'm not just talking about this particular story, but I pulled up the Catechism of the Catholic Church in terms of social communications, the media. And the Catechism, of course, because it's the Church, has such wisdom on how we are to carefully discern what's coming at us. And so perhaps I will review, if we have time, those paragraphs also with Nicholas. And then Eric Scheidler, the Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League, is going to be joining us about an event coming up outside of something happening this weekend with their governor in Illinois. The governor, who is very pro-abortion, is bringing together leaders to thank them for helping to make Illinois a sanctuary state for abortion. I don't even know. I can't. Anyhow, I'll let Eric get into this. It's just the whole thing with abortion and treating this evil as a sacrament and coming together to celebrate. I was watching the videos that came out last week when the Love Them Both Amendment did not pass in the state of Kansas. And I'm watching people celebrating, hugging, and crying over the fact that the pro-aborts had a victory, and these people who support abortion, I'm thinking, what are you celebrating? Praying for them that God would open their eyes and their hearts. Anyhow, we'll talk with Eric Scheidler, much to discuss, and then we wrap up with, of course, our beautiful sister, Joan Lewis, Joan's Rome, and that comes up at about 39 minutes past the hour. So it's a busy morning. I do hope you could stay tuned for the entire 2 hours, and of course, as you might guess, tons of news to get through. We also have to help you take a look at the weather and see what's happening. Now, we are going to still get, believe it or not, some more heat. And I'm not just talking, obviously, it's summer, so the weather is going to be warmer. But I'm talking about some real severe heat in certain parts of the country still ongoing, and also some serious flooding coming around. So, you know, we're not out of the woods yet in terms of some wacky weather for this year in terms of our summer weather. So let's take a look. National Weather Service saying dangerous heat, as I mentioned, continuing to impact portions of the interior Northwest and the Northeast. Some relief, they say, could come by today in the Northeast. But in certain parts of the country, especially in the middle of the country, monsoon showers and thunderstorms could result in flash flooding. Thunderstorms, some severe, producing excessive rainfall from the Ohio Valley to the central Appalachians. So there you have it. Extreme heat continuing in some parts and also lots of rain expected. So just keep that in mind. And as we always say, be careful out there. All right. Let's take a look at the news. It is a middle of the week. It's a Wednesday. It's August 10th, the Feast of St. Lawrence the Deacon, and you are listening to the one, the only EWTN. Really good analysis on CatholicNewsAgency.com today. I want you to take a look at it, and that's what the story is based on. Joe Biden is poised to sign the $485 billion inflation or so-called Inflation Reduction Act into law later this week, promising Americans all sorts of relief from the rising cost of food and other necessities. However, as CNA reports, a massive spending bill is drawing great criticism from Republicans and even Democrats who are predicting it will do just the opposite, little to stem record levels of inflation. Catholic families, CNA reports, among those feeling the squeeze, nearly 90% of Catholics saying they have had their finances significantly impacted by inflation, yet a majority, nearly 60%, say they do not have much or any confidence that Biden will be able to significantly curb inflation over the coming year. That's according to an EWTN Real Clear opinion research poll released in July. The act also, as CNA reports, designates $124 billion to the Internal Revenue Service for beefed-up tax enforcement. Senate Democrats saying that move will ensure that wealthy millionaires and billionaires pay their fair share. Republicans strongly disagree, with the House Freedom Caucus saying in a statement, the proposal instead creates an army of 87,000 new enforcement agents targeting Americans. As a church in Japan holds its annual 10 Days of Prayer for Peace event, the Japanese bishops reiterating that peace is everyone's responsibility. In their message for the occasion, signed by the president of the Catholic Bishop Conference of Japan, Lisa Zangarini with Vatican News reporting, the leaders reflecting on the Holy Father's words in the context of the ongoing war in Ukraine.
Peace is possible. Peace is a duty. The Japanese bishops have reiterated Pope Francis' Easter appeal on the occasion of the 10 Days of Prayer for Peace commemorating the atomic bombs that devastated Hiroshima and Nagasaki in 1945. In their annual message, signed by Archbishop Isao Kikuki of Tokyo, the Japanese bishops draw attention to the new threats to nuclear peace and international security amid Russia's war against Ukraine, taking cue from Pope Francis' considerations at the General Audience on September 2, 2020, and from his Urbi et Orbi Easter message on April 17 this year. In the General Audience 2 years ago, the Pope called for diversity and solidarity, united in harmony, as the way to emerge from the COVID-19 crisis in a better state than before. However, the Japanese bishops note, referring to the ongoing war in Ukraine, over the past 6 months, what has unfolded before our eyes has not been harmony, diversity, or solidarity, but confrontation, exclusion, and violence. The Japanese bishops remark that as a result of the war, the world is now being swept by feelings that peace can be won through violence, but that, they warn, would only trample on true peace.
A thorough and immediate explanation for the FBI's raid of former President Donald Trump's Florida residence is being called for by a number of political leaders, including Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. He issued a statement saying the Attorney General and the Department of Justice should already have provided answers to the American people and must do so immediately. Meanwhile, former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo wants answers as well after the FBI raided his former home, President Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago. Demonstrators are gathering outside Trump Tower in New York City, where the ex-president was staying during the search in Florida.
It didn't surprise me. I think they'll do anything to try to take him out and take him down, because I think they're afraid of him, because he tells the truth.
What we see with Trump and with his administration, his past administration and his people around him now, is that he doesn't care about democracy. He doesn't care about America.
Democrat Cuomo says the Department of Justice risks the search being viewed as a political tactic if they don't explain which could undermine a future investigation. Trump claiming the raid was unannounced, adding it wasn't necessary or appropriate. Republican lawmakers from Florida are turning to social media and elsewhere to react strongly to the news that the FBI raided the home of former President Donald Trump. Senator Marco Rubio isn't exactly mincing words.
This is what happens in places like Nicaragua, where last year every single person that ran against Daniel Ortega for president, every single person that put their name on the ballot was arrested and is still in jail.
And he also says that what goes around comes around.
You're playing with fire. This is dangerous because someone else will be in power one day. And now you have created the precedent for them to do this back to you. And then we become the third world.
Meanwhile, Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida tweeting the raid is another escalation in the weaponization of federal agencies against the regime's political opponents, while people such as Hunter Biden simply get treated with kid gloves. And the House January 6th committee has tried to make the case that former President Donald Trump bears direct responsibility for what happened at the U.S. Capitol last year. However, the new Monmouth University poll suggesting it hasn't moved the needle at all with the American public. In general, they say public opinion stands pretty much the same as it was before recent headline-grabbing testimony of former presidential aides during the last three public hearings. This is true, the polling company says, of both Trump's culpability in the attack on the Capitol and claims of election fraud. In fact, the survey shows Trump's favorability rating is nearly identical to where it stood immediately after the 2020 election. Just outside Detroit in Oxford, Michigan, parents in Oxford are letting the school board know they remain upset and frustrated with connections to the November 30th shooting that killed four and injured seven. One mother says there are still many questions that need to be answered.
Our kids are due back here in just a couple of weeks, and we really are in no better of a position than we were on November 30th at this point. Yes, we have some new technology, but we still don't even know how it works.
They spoke at a school board meeting last night after learning of the security guard having the opportunity to stop the then 15-year-old suspect, but thinking instead that it was a drill. A key inflation reading due out in the morning. Brian Shook has more.
The July Consumer Price Index report is expected to show a slight slowdown in inflation rates that have soared to highs not seen in decades. Analysts are saying there's a strong likelihood of reasonably good news. The CPI is also expected to provide clues about further steps the Federal Reserve can be expected to take in its fight to curb inflation.
Meanwhile, inflation is hitting teachers and parents hard as they try to stock up on back-to-school supplies. One Texas parent, Jerry Ramirez, says his family is having to get creative and reuse supplies from previous years as the costs of purchasing new things are just starting to add up.
We're kind of pinching for everything that we can at this point. Even, you know, chicken's getting crazy. So all those things that we would normally get, you know, we kind of have to look at alternative ways to do that. And that's kind of hitting at the back-to-school budget.
The average teacher's salary for last year was just at slightly above $66,000. And while that's a roughly 1.7% increase from the prior year, when adjusted for inflation, it means most teachers are making almost 4% less than a decade ago. And that has more and more educators turning to things such as GoFundMe as a way to raise money for classroom items. And Phil Farrar tells us, San Diego, well, your ship is about to come in, quite literally, one of the most powerful aircraft carriers in the world, hours away from returning to a giant homecoming.
A deployment that lasted 7 months and made history. The USS Abraham Lincoln becoming the first carrier to deploy a U.S. Marine Corps F-35C Lightning Squadron. The F-35 is the new Joint Strike Fighter, the Lincoln Strike Group made up of the guided missile cruiser, the U.S. Mobile Bay, and four guided missile destroyers, the U.S. Gridley, Fitzgerald, Sampson, and Spruance. The carrier comes home tomorrow. On Veterans Day, the Lincoln will hold a basketball game between powerhouses Gonzaga and Michigan State. Right on the flight deck.
14 minutes past the hour. It's a Wednesday morning. Hope you're doing well on this, a feast of St. Lawrence. We'll be right back to take a look at the Media Research Center and their quick review of how the media are covering this big story that we're still learning more about, the raid at Mar-a-Lago on Monday. Stay tuned.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Now is a great time to learn about CMF Curo as a pro-life Catholic healthcare option for your family. You can join anytime throughout the year. Plus, you'll experience an authentic Catholic community that cares about your health, spirit, mind, and body. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com to learn more about CMF Curo.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
I know I sound like a broken record sometimes, but I really encourage you, brothers and sisters, to go through the catechism and see how important it is in terms of, obviously, it gives us a guide on how to live our lives with putting our faith in our Lord first. The other thing that just is always so comforting to me and just keeps me just sane, quite frankly, is that the Church gives us such practical advice. If you go to, for example, the section on the means of social communications in the Catechism, there are several paragraphs which tie in directly to my conversation I'm about to have with our friends at the Media Research Center. Media and people's private lives, media serving society, news media and justice yet charity, manipulating public opinion, all of these things that we face every single day in terms of trying to discern what is coming at us 24/7 from the media, the Catechism, the Church, God gets it. Go figure. Start with paragraph 2492. Go all the way to paragraph 2499. Look at it, pray about it, and think about how you are discerning media messages, which is so important. Because there's a saying that the way we view the world is the way we live our lives, and that's very true. All right, Nicholas, very interesting in terms of some of what's happening. Now, I shared this morning on the first hour of my program in my Two Cents segment, a little bit of, I would say, a lucid moment on the part of some of the network correspondents. And by the way, we're chatting with Nicholas Fondacaro. He's the associate editor for Newsbusters at the Media Research Center, looking at the media coverage of the raid at Mar-a-Lago on Monday. So what are your thoughts? Because the exchange between the reporter from ABC News and the anchor, whose name escapes me right now, they actually were having a very balanced discussion, saying that there are opinions on both sides of the aisle. What a concept in journalism today. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me on. So ABC has had a couple of lucid moments over the course of yesterday. Like in the morning, you had Dan Abrams, one of their legal commentators, who was basically saying, like, hey, if this is nothing more than about boxes of documents and stuff that needs to go to the archive, then this can certainly be considered overreach and sort of a mistaken overplay by the DOJ. And then in the evening, you had David Muir, the anchor for World News Tonight, and he was talking, and he was basically saying, it's like, there's this growing questions and pressure on the DOJ and the FBI from both sides of the aisle, and like, you guys got to show us something. Like, what do you have? And they're not able to talk. They're not talking about that. And the Trump team hasn't put out the search warrant, which they have, and it's creating a lot of pressure on, or a lot of consternation, just like amongst everybody, like sort of commenting on it. And you have that sort of lucid side, and then you have the completely hyperbolic side on MSNBC, where you had yesterday an analyst, a national security analyst, for some reason, talking about this and saying that the secrecy of the raid was on par with that of the Osama bin Laden raid.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's all over the map. But once in a while, they do have a little bit of a lucid moment. But see, this is what they're supposed to be doing every day. The example you gave from ABC News. Those examples, this is what reporters are supposed to do. They're supposed to ask questions. They're supposed to get more than one side of the story and put it out there and let the people decide, correct?
Exactly. And they're supposed to show us what's going on. And ABC did a little bit of this, too. They talked about how we don't have much transparency from the FBI. That was Chief Washington Correspondent Major Garrett. And he also added that, like, right now, because, like, we're not having all this information and everybody's just going off sort of half-cocked in, like, with their hot takes on Twitter, and he's saying, like, this is a very dangerous, unstable moment, like, things can be a little bit combustible right now, and, like, we have to have this information, we have to be more honest and transparent with what's going on, because this is so unprecedented, and people have serious concerns about it.
The other point I think is really interesting that not enough media are covering. If you look at some of the video from the raid, I mean, nobody was there, right? Trump was in New York. The lawyers weren't allowed to even be inside. And yet you had, and the Secret Service obviously are there on the premises because he's a former president and he's guarded for the rest of his life, and we know that. But you had images, Nicholas, of these FBI agents with machine guns. I mean, now seriously, to me, that's the theater. That's the theater, and the media need to call that out.
Exactly, because like the Secret Service isn't going to act against them. They have the whole place lockdown. I know they have their protocols and their regulations, but in some instances, you can probably use your common sense to be like, okay, this is already a very secure place. No one's going to try anything. We also have like another department on our side, the Secret Service, in case something happens. We can sort of ease up a little bit. And CNN, surprisingly, had a couple of their own lucid moments during the day, too, where you had host Poppy Harlow sort of saying, like, if this is just about the Presidential Records Act, like, does just trying to act on that and all the record-keeping stuff, does this warrant all of this sort of show and bravado and all this stuff? And even she was speaking with former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe, who was Comey's right-hand man, and he was basically saying the same thing. If this is just about documents, like, this sort of response is almost unimaginable to him. And he called it like a very aggressive move.
Well, the whole thing is, and this is what I was mentioning earlier, Nicholas, what the Catechism says in terms about the imagery and the way the media try to form public opinion. They want to give the impression, obviously, because if nobody is there, and this is just about documents, really, a document dispute, then why the machine guns? Why 30 agents? Why going in and, you know, in the middle of the night or at night when everything is dark and mysterious? Because it's all drama. It's all drama because you have the men with the bulletproof vests and the machine guns. You have the lights. And it looks very, ooh, you know, what ominous. What's going on here? This is what they have to call out. I'm glad to see some are doing it, but this is how the media operate in order to paint an image, right, and get it in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, because and even on, like, just not just the optics from, like, the raid itself, like, you even have, like, the reporting after the fact, because you had MSNBC, who had by far the most hyperbolic comments so far that we've been seeing of the Nets. You had, like, Dana Milbank, a columnist for the Washington Post, who was coming out and basically was on their shows saying, like, Republicans are panicking, like Republican legislators are panicking, because the ones that have visited Mar-a-Lago, they're worried they left some incriminating evidence behind of their own that the FBI is going to find and then go after them. And he was also saying, like, the Trump supporters were getting ready to retaliate for the raid and perform an Oklahoma City-style...
Oh, that was horrible. I saw that. Yeah. That was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Oh, yes. Way over the top, way beyond the pale. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And yeah, Andrea Mitchell basically going after anybody who wanted to investigate Garland. You had Kevin McCarthy announcing, putting out the tweet saying, well, hold your records, we're going to investigate you. And she was calling it outrageous and praising him as like the most careful, most judicious, to a fault investigator we got.
Okay, so then why isn't he coming clean with the information as to what led to this raid?
Yeah, it's all theatrics on the media's part, and one of the reasons that they're probably not going to be able to come forward because their policy is not to speak unless there's an indictment, which in this case they probably should waive because of the seriousness of it. But right now we're going to be in the dark probably for a little bit unless the Trump team puts out their search warrant, because in order for them to execute the search warrant, it had to have been handed over to the Trump team.
Yeah. Well, Nicholas, thank you for this assessment, and I know you're going to be having more as the coverage continues. What's the best place to go for Newsbusters or for more information?
Yeah, if they want to come by newsbusters.org, they can read up on all of our reports on it and see our unfolding reports as they're coming around.
Nicholas Fondacaro is the Associate Editor for Newsbusters at the Media Research Center. Thank you so much. And there's just a wrap-up. I want to go back to the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And we always have to look at everything through the eyes of Scripture and the lenses of the Catholic Church, as Al always says. So again, I want you to do a little homework assignment. Start with paragraph 2492 in the section on means of social communications and take it down, very quick read, to paragraph 2499 and think about what's happening in our culture today, especially with the media and the news media in trying to manipulate public opinion and not giving us the full story. And the importance of some of the media having at least a few, although well too rare, lucid moments. We'll be right back. Have you heard the latest and greatest travel news? One more reason to join us on our premier Tease Italy pilgrimage, La Dolce Fede, or The Sweetness of Faith, this November 6th to the 14th. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and yes, it's an unbelievable price, some $3,600 for a 7-night land package, including Assisi, Orvieto, Rome, and much more. But now, and here's the latest and greatest news, no reason to worry about having to test to come back home. All testing requirements dropped. No vaccination, no testing, an incredible opportunity to visit tombs of the great saints such as Francis, Claire, Blessed Carlos Acutis, and so much more, except those tests. So call Corporate Travel now, 800-727-1999, or visit us online, AveMariaRadio.net, on our travel page. Call now, the trip is filling up, 1-800-727-1999. Hope to see you in Bella Italia in November.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I'm operating on the gifts of the Holy Spirit when I don't feel well, even when I'm annoyed, when I'm down and out. During my recovery from the automobile accident, immense numbers of people wrote to me and sent me emails, 50,000, and they told me how helpful they thought my talks on EWTN were to them. I'm delighted. But I want you to know, I'm nobody's fool. The talks that were helpful, the sentences that were helpful, the phrases that were helpful, came from the Holy Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Styrofoam packaging came from me. I did that. And Styrofoam doesn't amount to very much.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. 28 minutes past the hour. Continue our program on a Wednesday morning on EWTN. Eric Scheidler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League. Eric, never a dull moment, right? Roll up our sleeves even further after Roe v. Wade was overturned, thanks be to God. But unfortunately, abortion has not been banned, even though it was a victory lap for us. We still have so much work to do, and that includes peacefully protesting. And you've got an event this weekend, or is it today? Oh, it's tonight, actually, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's at the governor's. He's having a garden party celebrating abortion. Oh, my goodness.
That's right.
Explain, please.
I've rolled up my sleeves so far. I'm wearing a tank top now.
Tank top and midriff, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. We are protesting Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker at a garden party in Highland Park, which was the scene of that 4th of July massacre. So particularly sad to see this abortion party coming to a place where
that's a good point.
You know, mass murder took place just a little over a month ago. It's a group called Personal PAC. They are the lobbying group, very powerful, very wealthy. They're the ones who dole out all the donations to the pro-abortion politicians in Illinois. And, you know, more and more, Illinois is becoming a national, really ground zero for abortion across the United States. I think it's really providential that my organization, the Pro-Life Action League, has been headquartered there. We were right there in the belly of the beast. Illinois, now that Indiana has passed an abortion ban, set to go into effect soon, it's really become the abortion capital of the Midwest. We're seeing license plates from Texas, from Missouri, from Wisconsin now up at Planned Parenthood's Waukegan facility. They've erected facilities on the borders of three different states nearby Illinois over the past, actually 20 years, but especially more recently, with a view to this day so that they could be, you know, really exploit the desperation of women in states like Indiana, Missouri, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Iowa on the borders of Illinois. J.B. Pritzker is the architect of much of this, along with his friends at this group, Personal PAC. They're honoring him and his wife, Mary Catherine, this evening, and a whole host of other pro-abortion politicians. And the Ploy Faction League is going to be there, not only representing the unborn children of Illinois, but representing the unborn children of the entire Midwest and their mothers who are being pressured by Governor Pritzker and by Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot to get abortions. Their message to poor women especially is, we don't want your children. The children of the poor are unwelcome in Illinois, in Chicago. We only want our playgrounds, our beaches, our parks to be used by the children of the elite, the one percenters. Those are the ones allowed to have children in Illinois. Everyone else needs to get an abortion.
Right. We're talking with Eric J. Scheidler, Executive Director of the Pro-Life Action League. And in your press release, the subtitle and the question you asked, I think, is very important, as you just pointed out, Eric. What about unwanted abortions? Even the Guttmacher Institute has the research to show that most women who have an abortion are doing it because they feel pressured, either financially or by a partner, by a boyfriend, by someone in their family, by their situation. It's not that they're looking for an abortion because it's really something they want to do or desire to do. It's they feel they don't have a choice in terms of this whole idea of quote-unquote choice.
That's right. I mean, very interesting to learn how much more pro-life poorer women are than richer women. Only 1 out of 10 wealthy women thinks that abortion is always wrong. 9 out of 10 find excuses for abortion, and many of those are willing to accept abortion under any circumstances through all of pregnancy. But poorer women, disadvantaged women, perhaps because they don't have so much distraction from material wealth, but whatever the reason is, fully a quarter of underprivileged women are completely opposed to abortion, which means that out of the other 3 out of 4, there's a lot of resistance to abortion. Very few Americans are on board with the radical abortion birth policy that J.B. Pritzker and his friends are going to be celebrating tonight. But it's especially significant that the poorer you are, the less likely you are to abort. And I think that's because they see value in things other than just money, in a second property, in a beautiful garden home where you can hold a pro-abortion celebration. They see other things maybe as valuable. But whatever the reason may be, we should respect their desires. We also know that in general, women in the United States are having fewer children than they want. They feel so much pressure. Wealth inequality and how very difficult it is to find housing in the United States now. Apartments are expensive. Houses are unreachable to any but the upper middle class in many, many regions of the country right now. And so we have hundreds of thousands of unwanted abortions. Can't we all at least come to common ground on trying to stop those, saying no boss, no husband, no boyfriend, no parent should force any woman or girl to get an abortion she doesn't want?
You know what I think is really interesting, and how come more women don't wake up to this, and even they don't agree with us, Eric, on the abortion issue. But for example, after Roe v. Wade was overturned on June 24th, some of the companies that came out and said, we're proud and we're going to be pro-abortion, we're going to pay for women to travel and have an abortion. I'm thinking, wow, if that isn't sexist. Because what you're basically telling women is, okay, yeah, we're going to keep you in the workforce and we're going to pay for this. But gee, did they offer to pay for child care or other medical help or other family assistance? No, the first thing they did and said, we're going to keep you in the workforce and we're going to pay for your abortion. Where were the feminists or so-called feminists with that?
I can't understand why they're okay with this. We have we have these guys caught on tape saying, yeah, this makes good fiscal sense. This is about the bottom line. This is about getting women off to the abortionist and then quickly back on the Amazon warehouse floor or on the factory floor stocking the shelves, and they want to keep their middle class and working class workers in their factories and on their assembly lines and being cogs in their machine and not recognizing that so many of those women would just love to be able to care for their children, and they're having to struggle so hard to deal with child care and health care and so many other things. It's a very cynical bottom line issue for them, and it's being presented as if it's some sort of virtue.
Yeah, and I just can't understand these women who supposedly care so much about women's rights and equality in the workplace. Well, what were they doing? Did they say to the men, we're going to pay for your sterilizations? I mean, where was that? Not that I agree with that either, but you know what I'm saying? Obviously, we're people of life, but it's always on the women.
Yeah, that's true. And that's, you know, that's true in so many areas. I mean, the whole trans women area.
Right.
And all of that. It strikes me that no men's sport is going to be affected by that. You know, there's not going to be any NFL female players, but it's going to be tearing women's sport up. It's uncanny how women are under attack here. And I think ultimately that's what abortion has always been. It's an attack on femininity, an attack on women. And, you know, the early pro-life movement was made up of, you know, New Deal Democrat Catholics who saw abortion as an attack on the poor, which is what it is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the problem is the way it's presented and the media theater that goes on. So how many people are you expecting for your gathering tonight? Will you have a good amount of people there standing up for life, do you think?
Well, for one of these parties coming, it's, you know, it's at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's a really horrible time. Highland Park mm-hmm. is a lakefront suburb, very, very wealthy, very hard to get to from a lot of parts of the region. But J.B. Pritzker is always a draw. And I've had a lot of people tell me that they're coming. So I'm expecting a good crowd. A couple dozen will be coming out with us. We have very large signs, and we have literature we'll be passing out. But I don't want people listening to get the idea that this is something happening way off in Highland Park, Illinois. Everyone is invited to be a part of tonight's process. We put together a prayer team for this because we know we're going to be facing resistance from that neighborhood. We are really hopeful that the media will come out. I've had some media interest. You know, we want cooperation from the police, good weather, great turnout, and all that. There's lots to pray for. So being a part of the prayer squad is always essential to these, and you can do that at prolifeaction.org/pray. prolifeaction.org/pray. You can sign up to be part of our prayer team.
Eric, thanks for all your great work. Great to catch up with you again, and keep us posted on how things go tonight. We'll be praying for you and also for those pro-abortion leaders that they have a change of heart and mind on the killing of the innocent and affecting so many of us in so many ways with abortion. 36 minutes past the hour, we'll go to Rome after the break with Jones Rome. Again, check out the great work of the Pro-Life Action League, prolifeaction.org. Stay tuned.
"60 Seconds with Father Mitch Pacwa."
Buddhism itself has a lot of different forms. There's no one type of Buddhism. When you get to Buddha himself, he was a complete agnostic and supposed to have been a very wealthy prince who had everything, but found that this was all hollow and empty, especially in the face of death. What he came up with as a basic principle is that the source of all suffering in life is having desires. So you need to free yourself of all desires, and then you won't suffer in this life anymore. This would be very different from Christianity, where we don't want to give up our desire for God. First, we do believe that there is one God. Second, we do believe that it's three persons in one God. And thirdly, that the goal of life is not emptiness, but is union with God and through Jesus Christ. That's the way of salvation.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
Can our society return to sanity? No, not without widespread spiritual revival. I don't see how it can happen. As Richard Weaver said in the classic, "Ideas Have Consequences," nothing can be done until we have decided whether we are primarily interested in truth. And that's a capital T. Not my truth, not your truth, but the truth we share of an objective moral universe. And that's where we have to stand firm and insist with all grace and with all love that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And he did teach that the truth is good and will set us free. But there's no freedom until we re-embrace some shared understanding of the truth.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Welcome back, Catholic Connection. It's a Wednesday morning. Going over to Rome to catch up with all the news from the Vatican. Joan Lewis, so has it cooled off there at all, my dear? Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Well, it did yesterday. I remember posting a tweet at 2:56 saying, "Oh, my gracious, folks, it's raining." And I mean, the only water I saw coming down like that in the last month was in my shower, you know, and just unbelievable. And the temperature did go down to make the evening cool. I don't think I had my air conditioning on yesterday for more than half an hour, but we're back up in the 90s.
Yeah. So, and well, it's Italy. It's a summertime, yeah. So that's what you get.
Yeah. But 75 to 90 in, you know, in hours. So that's life in August in Rome.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yeah. So what's happening there? What's the latest news with the Holy Father? I know he did have an audience message today, correct?
Yes, he did. And the interesting thing is, of course, was his catechesis. There were a lot of interesting things about today, but there's so much that we have to really talk to about an appointment made by the Pope last week, two interesting papal audiences, and all those things all leading some kind of speculation. But I'll just kind of briefly summarize summarize the audience, but I mean the Pope did return to a catechesis that he had started earlier in the year on old age. And, of course, this was the first audience on old age since he resumed audiences last week after the July break. So the last time we heard of old age with some figures of the Old Testament was the last audience in late June. And then, of course, an audience after a pope has made a trip, which the pope just did to Canada, the Wednesday after his return from a trip is always dedicated to that trip, and that's what happened last week. And I just find it, I'm going to ponder this some more, but I find that his talk today, he said, his words, we enter into the moving, this is his last catechesis dedicated to old age. I think there's 10 or 12 of them. He said, today we enter into the moving intimacy of Jesus' farewell to his followers, amply recounted in the Gospel of John. He says, the parting discourse begins with words of consolation and promise, let not your hearts be troubled. And he goes on that theme, has some very, very few words about the fragility of faith in age, the fragility of aging itself, and that this time of life, he said, of course, Jesus did not experience this. He did not experience old age. But the disciples, as we well know, and the apostles did, going throughout the entire world until they were in their, you know, 60s, 70s, and who knows, it might have been beyond. But mm-hmm. Well, the Pope, he talked at length about old age, and it's really something remarkable. I think anybody that's young can be encouraged by his beautiful words on age. And then twice as much is the value for anyone who is older. And I loved this one phrase, Teresa. The Pope says, the conceit of stopping time, of wanting eternal youth, unlimited well-being and absolute power, this is not only impossible, it's delusional. And he says, old age knows the meaning of time and the limitations of the place in which we live our initiation. Old age is wise. The elderly are wise for this reason. So this means you guys really have to listen to everything I say, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He says this is why it is credible when old age invites us to rejoice in the passing of time. It is not a threat. It's a promise. Old age is noble. It doesn't need to beautify itself to show its nobility. So some very, very, very beautiful words on this. And he said, the best is yet to come. The elderly are a promise, a witness of promise, and the best is yet to come.
Well, I love that because there's so much emphasis, and you and I talk about this a lot, on appearance and on everything's got to be young.
Oh, sure.
And we see this in Hollywood all the time. We see this in the news business. You hit 40 years old and you're considered old, and they want to go for the 20-somethings and the 30-somethings. And it's very sad because of, you know, in terms of everything based on appearance versus wisdom, experience, and the knowledge you gain just by living.
And Teresa, just to think of old age, you know, think of something beautiful that we know in nature, an immensely beautiful tree, shrubbery, a garden with beautiful flowers. Think of the joy that we get. First, we plant them. and then we see the early buds, and isn't this exciting? There's expectation. And then the flower comes out in all of its color, or possibly colors, in its magnificent full bloom. And we rejoice in that. It gives us happiness. We share it. We give flowers to others. We donate. I mean, we place flowers in our home because they're going to make us smile. And then, of course, comes the day when some of the bloom is gone. And then, you know, unless they're perennials, and then we lose the flower. But just think of the image of a flower. Mm-hmm. And it's a brief life. Some last a lot longer than others, of course. But there is that beginning, the planting of the seed, and the growth of something beautiful. But the beauty doesn't disappear even though the flower has died. And for me, it doesn't disappear because I have it in my mind. I love flowers. Mm-hmm. And I, with my mind's eye, I can see flowers I've had on my dinner table, flowers people have sent to me, flowers I may have just bought at the local florist. So I just like to think of that image when I do think of age, you know. So it was a beautiful catechesis, and we just got a few minutes ago, the Osservatore Romano arrived in my email. I get the Vatican newspaper every day by email, and of course it's in Italian. There mm-hmm. is an English version once a week, but I was going through it because I was looking for something in particular about today's audience, and I saw some news which kind of really blew me away, and I've copied and just started to translate the Italian, but apparently today's the fourth time that Pope Francis has received a group of transsexual people who are welcomed and supported by the community of the Blessed Virgin Mary Immaculate in Tor Vaianica. That's a place not far from Rome on the sea. And today the Pope received this priest who's the pastor and then one of the nuns who works with these people in the parish. So apparently at previous audiences, and if I miss this by not reading the Osservatore Romano, then that's my fault. But April 27th, June 22nd, mm-hmm. and August 3rd, last week's audience, the Pope also received these people who are, you know, receiving help and welcoming. It's an initiative. When the Pope found out about this group at this parish, he, you know, immediately supported it. And then the Cardinal Almoner of the Pope, of course, we know Polish Cardinal Konrad Kwajewski has also been behind the parish work, helping these people, helping them, as the newspaper says, to recover their dignity as a human being through the ransoming of this slavery of prostitution. So the Pope's attention is shown to these people who live with great suffering, this fragility, and they are, you know, trying to find hope through the nun and this parish at this priest. So there's more to the article. I'm just kind of translating it.
So is this article saying that they're supporting them in the sense of really understanding who they are, made in the image and likeness of God, male and female, or are they supporting them in terms of endorsing their choice for a particular lifestyle?
No. Okay. It's not my exactly. It's not my impression that it's an endorsement.
Okay. I just want to clarify that because people hear things right, yeah. and they say, oh, cool, now he's doing this, that, the other thing. We just wanted to clarify that support in terms of
the Pope received
spiritual
them,
support.
Showing
yeah.
them love, paternity, simplicity, just these are people who need to be helped, and through prejudice, of course, they are, you know, placed on the margins. But mm-hmm. it is not an endorsement, obviously, of that lifestyle or any kind of behavior, but recognizing that there are people out there who, through a choice, live a very mm-hmm. different lifestyle and suffer as a consequence of their own choice. So,
right.
You know, yeah.
I just wanted to clarify that because people hear things and pick things up and may try to, because there's a lot of confusion, as you and I have said quite frequently, the Vatican press office does not meet with the press regularly or put out explanations or things, so people are left to draw their own conclusions. So I just wanted to clarify.
Out. I mean, Teresa, there's sometimes after you and I've talked on a Wednesday and there's been the wonderful general audience and I've seen the whole thing in, you know, on TV or something. And then in the afternoon comes the newspaper and I'm reading about groups that we don't hear of in the television, you know, thing. Mm-hmm. And here's a group from Germany that blah, blah, blah. So I just have to read about it. And it's usually after you and I are, you know, have been on air. So, but there's been a lot of, you know, so much big news this week and since the last time that you and I talked. And for me, two of the most interesting stories are an appointment the Pope made last week of his personal health assistant.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I did a whole blog on that because I spend a lot of time in my blog explaining the Vatican health system, you know, for employees of Vatican City and of the Roman Curia. And so the Vatican the Pope appointed a Vatican nurse whom he knows. His name is Massimiliano Strappetti. In fact, most of the nurses I know at the Vatican Healthcare Center are male nurses. There are nuns. For years, there were only male nurses. And then I don't know when they came, but there are a number of religious orders that, you know, have sisters who are nurses as well, and they work for the Vatican Health Center. But the Pope once said in an interview of Massimiliano that he saved my life, and I find it fascinating. It was Strappetti who last summer persuaded the Pope to have his colon surgery. I didn't even know he would have needed persuasion because there was not much of a choice of a quality of life if he didn't, or even life itself if he didn't have the surgery. So I think it's very clear that Strappetti, of course, will be working more closely with the papal doctor. His name is Roberto Bernabei, and every pope has always had a doctor. I mean, any of us who've been at the Vatican long enough, when I saw this story being posted, this appointment by the Pope, my first thought was of Francesco Crucitti. He was the doctor, nobody will ever mm-hmm. forget his name, who saw John Paul through, when he was shot in May of 1981 and then all his subsequent months in the hospital. So, but the Vatican didn't explain or clarify what does this mean, personal health assistant. So when I said, you know, there's some speculation involved, you have to say, is Strappetti needed for the daily therapy that Francis is undergoing for his knee problem, or is there an underlying health issue with the Holy Father we know nothing about that Strappetti is to oversee? So, you know, things are done, answers aren't given. As I said, there's no clarification or provided, not only by the press office, but by any other source, you know, talking out of turn, so to speak. So that was interesting. And then there were two appointments, audiences. Last Friday, the Pope received the Metropolitan, the head of the Orthodox, head of the Department for External Relations of the Patriarchate of Moscow. And then on Saturday, the Pope received Andrei Yurash, Ukraine's ambassador to the Holy See. And the funny thing is, ambassadors are usually received by the Pope only on two occasions, when they present their letters of credence and then when they're on a farewell visit. So in this audience, they simply named the Pope received the ambassador, you know, from Ukraine. So I don't know if these two audiences back-to-back, do they mean the trips to Moscow and Ukraine are being prepared? How would they be worked out if they could be worked out? And actually, the Ukrainian ambassador did post a whole bunch of tweets on the 6th of August and really kind of implying that the Pope is going to be making that trip. And, you know, to have these back-to-back, I mean, it's just my opinion, well, of many, but if he did both of those trips, he'd have to go to Ukraine first.
Yeah, absolutely. Great perspective. Again, out of time. More time to talk with you every week. We should do the whole hour. There's so much to discuss and questions asked. Joan Lewis, you'll find her beautiful blog, Joan's Rome, at WordPress.com. And we'll be right back on a Wednesday. We'll let you know what's coming up on a Thursday. Stay tuned.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guarendi here. You thinking about homeschooling? Seton Homeschooling. 40 years of experience, 17,000 current students, pre-K through high school. They provide the books, the lesson plan, the counselors, the grading services, the tests. That's right, pretty much everything. My wife and I use Seton. Some of our children. Tell you this, two of them got perfect ACT scores in verbal. And overall, the Seton students scored more than 100 points above average on the SAT. Over 30% higher on English and reading on the ACT. It's a rigorous program. You want to give the very best to your kids? Trust me on this one. Go with Seton. It is a beautifully rigorous academic program. Go to SetonHome.org. That is SetonHome.org.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN Global Catholic Radio, EWTN.com. This program co-produced by EWTN and Ave Maria Radio. AveMariaRadio.net. Looking forward to a follow-up conversation with an amazingly strong bishop. Bishop Nauman from Kansas will join us to take a look at what happened last week with the vote. Hope to see you then. Ciao, ciao.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.